Shortly after 10:30 in the morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel alongside Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show the TSN Director of Scouting, Craig Button. Craig, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us. Craig. We may have... Craig, are you there?
And thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us, Craig. How are you this morning?
Sorry about that. I had my mute on.
No problem at all.
We like to put...
There's a lot of people that wish I had it on all the time.
They say that about us, too.
Yeah, they say that about us is right. But we wouldn't dare say that about you, Craig. Obviously brought you on. We are 2 weeks less a day from the first round of the NHL draft in Sunrise, Florida. Wanted to, you know, we haven't had you on in a little while, so we want to go through your final ranking, your final Craig's
list. Because they're always having Craig on the big show in the morning.
I know. You're on the morning show takes you away from us all the time. We'll have to discuss that with them off air, of course. Craig, we know it's going to be Connor McDavid. We know it's going to be Jack Eichel, 1-2. It gets interesting right after that. 3, 4, 5, that's really where it gets interesting. You have Dylan Strome ahead of Mitch Marner. Can you walk us through your explanation for why you have Strome ahead of Marner?
Okay, and I'm just going to take a step back. Like, I mean, I'm not doing how I think the draft will unfold. I mean, that's where I think, and I'll tell you what, it's razor thin between Strome and Marner. And quite frankly, I mean, Marner might end up being a better point producer at the National Hockey League level. But I believe that when it's that close, my bias is towards the center. I'm going to put the center ahead of the winger every time when it's close. And I think it's, like I said, the only difference between the two is one's a center, one's a right winger. I think Marner's incredibly dynamic, but I think when you look in the NHL and the way to have success, if you don't have centermen, you have no chance to have success. You just don't. And guys that can carry significant play. And that's what I see Dylan Strome. He might not be that 100-point guy year in, year out, but I think he's going to do a lot of things to help a team win. And, you know, it's a 6'3" centerman that can play every area of the game. And, you know, I've compared him to Ron Francis. I've compared it in type to Anze Kopitar. I'm not saying he is those guys, but those types of players are incredibly important to winning.
You know, Craig, you look at number 5, and we had Bruce Lubke on, the Brandon Weekings play-by-play guy, on a couple times this year, and Brandon really, you know, maybe took a step forward earlier than some thought they would this season. Ivan Provorov was a big part of that. What do you like so much about his game?
Okay, how about everything? There's not a thing I don't like. And let me say this, and I've been saying it, like, you know, you watch. I mean, I've been lucky. I've watched Ivan for 2 years. I watched him in the USHL. I watched him at the U18 in April 2014. So, and then, of course, this year in Brandon. So I've seen a lot of Ivan Provorov, and you just watch him go. I think he's the best defenseman in the draft. And here's the kicker. I don't think it's close. I don't think it's
really
close. Because defensemen that can command every single area of the game, defensively, offensively, you want to play a tactical game, he can play a tactical game. You want to play a skill game, he can play a skill game. He's rugged. He's able to create offense in so many areas. He alleviates pressure. I mean, we're watching the Stanley Cup final going on. We're talking about, you know, Duncan Keith and his ability to play so many minutes. That's Ivan Provorov, the ability to play that many minutes in every conceivable situation in the game and excel. That's what I see in Ivan Provorov. I don't think there's a defenseman close to him in this draft.
Now, Craig, before we get to some other prospects that we want to talk to you about, you know, you hear that this is the strongest draft since 2003, and you know that was the year that you had, you know, the Ducks took Ryan Getzlaff and Corey Perry, and the Devils, you know this, of course, Devils moved up and drafted Zach Parise. But after the first 2 to 5 picks, after Connor McDavid goes and Jack Eichel goes, do you think this draft is going to produce, you know, those types of players later in the first round, like the Corey Perrys, for example?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know if you're – Corey Perry won the Hart Trophy. So, I mean, I do believe that every draft is going to produce players outside of that group, that call them the known group and the expected group not only play in the NHL, but be very good players in the NHL. So I think you're going to always get players like that. And, you know, when you start to go back in drafts in 2003, obviously is one of the NHL's greatest draft, if not the greatest one. But even when you go back through that draft and you see players that came out of out of the second round, Patrice Bergeron was a second round draft pick, mm-hmm. Corey Crawford, second round draft pick. So, you know, you're talking about really good players that weren't even in that top group. And, I mean, there's six players out of that first round that had very little, if at all, NHL careers. You know, let's put it this way, insignificant would be the word you would use. So even six of the 30 first-round picks in arguably the best draft ever didn't have a significant NHL career. So I think there's some really good players. I think there's some players that require the projection is such a big part of the draft. And certainly this draft has its share of players that you're going to have to project. But I see a lot of quality well past the second round.
Craig, we wanted to ask you about Noah Hanifin too, and as you mentioned, you know, this isn't where you think that the players are drafting. These are your rankings, and I think people were a little bit surprised to see Noah Hanifin ranked 12th on your final list because he was always kind of penciled in to go 3, maybe 4. But is that because you think there's a significant drop off after Ivan Provorov and Zach Werenski, and kind of how you project Noah Hanifin in the NHL?
Well, it is. It's exactly that. And, you know, it's funny. I get comments like, why don't you like Noah Hanifin? Oh, really? The 12th player on my list is a guy I don't like. Wow.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Like, I can only tell you this. And, you know, I've watched Noah for 3 years. I've watched Zach Werenski for 2 years. And for me, I go into elite defensemen. You know, people get tricked when you watch a great skating defenseman.
Yep.
And you automatically think that, oh, skating, he'll be an elite defenseman. And that's why I compare Noah Hanifin to Jay Boumeister. Because Jay, and I watched Jay from the time he was 15, superb skater, just effortless. And people, oh, he's going to be a Norris Trophy winner. No, he isn't, because he doesn't produce offense, because he doesn't have those abilities to produce offense. And Jay Boumeister is a very good player in the National Hockey League and somebody you want on your team. And that's exactly how I feel about Noah Hanifin. But when I go through the list and I'm going through it and I'm looking at, you know, not only projection but productivity, and I watch a Nick Merkley, who I have just a notch ahead of him. And I'm not, I mean, I know we look at 10, 11, 12, but to me, Nick Merkley is just a significant bite of every game I watch him play in. And, you know, we know about Lawson Crouse. And, you know, a lot of people don't talk about Kyle Connor or Brock Besser or Timo Meier. I think those guys are top-end players mm-hmm. that are going to have really good NHL careers and are going to impact the game. I'm not going to say more significantly than Noah, but I don't think Noah is going to impact it more significantly than them in the area of what they bring, high-end skill, scoring ability. I mean, I think those qualities are really significant in today's NHL.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Our guest is Craig Button, discussing the upcoming NHL draft. And Craig, you mentioned two players in that last answer, and that's two USHL players, Kyle Connor and Brock Boeser. You have them both in the top 10, Connor at 6th and Boeser at 9th. You know, what do you like best about both of those players and the attributes they bring to the game?
Well, I'll start with Kyle Connor, and he's another player I've watched for 3 years. And, you know, the game is, we all talk about how fast the game is. But the game isn't just fast in terms of movement. It's fast in how quickly you have to think, and it's fast in how you have to execute at that speed. And to me, Kyle Connor's got it all. I mean, you talk about the head, hands, and the feet all working together to make a really dangerous player. That, to me, is Kyle Connor. He's got exceptional skating ability. He's got exceptional hands in terms of being able to play in traffic and play in tight areas. He can score goals as well as make plays. And you know, he's very creative and really understands how the game unfolds. Brock Besser, and I'll use the comparable first. He reminds me a lot of Kyle Okposo. Ironically, Kyle Okposo got drafted to the USHL.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and Brock is a right winger that, to me, anywhere you get, in, like on offense, on the rush, on the cycle, in front of the net, getting open to shoot the puck, I think Brock Besser can score multiple ways. And, you know, when, like, one of the things, the goaltenders are so good now at the National Hockey League level. So when I give this description of Brock, I think it's an essential skill. To me, you got to be able to get your hands set to shoot the puck before the puck gets to you. Because if you got to get your hands set when the puck gets to you, the goaltenders are too good reading the play and too good at getting into position, and they close it down. Brock Besser is one of the best players I've seen in a long time at being able to get his hands set before he gets the puck and then release it and score. That doesn't give the goaltenders a chance to get a read on it and to make a play on the shot. And if you don't get, if you can't get the shot off quickly, I don't care how hard you shoot it or how accurate it is, you got to be able to make those plays quickly. And I think Brock has a unique skill in that regard.
You know, Craig, similar to kind of the NFL with running backs, goaltenders in the National Hockey League draft kind of been drafted later, and people are a little bit skeptical. Your top goaltender, you have ranked 14th overall, is Ilya Samsonov. What do you like so much about his game?
You know, that's a really good comparison. You know, that's the first time I've heard that used, the running back goaltender comparison. I think it's a really good one.
Thanks.
So, you know, following up on that, you know, what I like about Ilya, and again, I'm going to go back to today's goaltender. Big, athletic, competitive. And Ilya has those qualities. Now, I mean, we're all watching Andrei Vasilevsky. We've watched him in the World Juniors. And because Ilya is Russian, there's a natural tendency to start, oh, well, he's like Vasilevsky. I see him more like Braden Holtby and Semyon Varlamov. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a goaltender that's explosive in his athletic ability. He's got that size. And like all goaltenders, you got to work on your technique and you got to understand how to keep your positioning and your stance and your structure within your game, or you're going to break down. And I mean, he will get that. And he's got great competitiveness. He wants to stop the puck. And I know that sounds funny, but when you're in that net and you got to find a way to get through the screen and you got to find a way to pick up the puck and you got to find a way to get to the net, it's every bit as important competitive quality as it is a guy that's willing to pay a price to score a goal. And to me, Ilya has all those qualities of skill, of athletic ability, and of competitive ability.
Craig, we wanted to ask you about a couple more players here, and we had Grant Saunier on earlier this hour. We were talking about Evgeny Svechnikov, who you have ranked 17th, and Jets fans are constantly asking us, you know, who are the Jets going to take? And obviously, we have no inside information. We haven't talked to Marcel Comeau about it. But another guy that's kind of ranked in between where the Jets pick between 17 and 25, because, of course, as you know, they have the two first-round picks. Jansen Harkins is a guy that fans have been kind of looking at. He's a guy whose dad played in the NHL, and he's from the WHL. And he's a smart two-way player and really had that breakout season. Do you think he would be kind of a good fit and make sense for the Jets? I know, obviously, you're not going to predict that they're going to take him, but what do you think he projects as an NHLer?
Well, you know, I'll talk about the Winnipeg Jets generally. I think the Winnipeg Jets have done a fantastic job in terms of their scouting. And, you know, when you look at scouting and, you know, we get focused in on the first round, and in this case for the Jets, they got two first-round draft picks. But when you go through what they've been able to do throughout their draft, and, you know, I call, you know, stalking the prospect cover. I mean, in every area. I mean, Connor Hellebuck was, I believe he was a fourth-round draft pick. A fourth-round draft pick from the North American Hockey League. He might have been a fifth round. So, you start Andrew Kopp, a fourth-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. You start to look, Nick Pachan. Yeah, Morrissey and Ehlers, you know, really top-end players, and we know that. But when you start to go back and you start to look at how well they've done throughout the draft, I think that, you know, when you got all those positions covered off in terms of your prospects, you now can consider different options in the draft. So I think that the Jets are not locked into saying, oh, geez, we're short in this area. We need to draft this position. I think they can look at it and say, hey, listen, a guy like Evgeny Svechnikov, a big winger who can make plays, who can get the puck to the net, who's got speed, who's got a great shot, you know, and you talk about a little bit of size, you know, Evgeny's got that. And Jansen Harkins is, I always joke about Jansen that he's not going to win any bikini contest. And by that, I mean, he there's no sex appeal to Jansen Harkins.
I can relate to that, Craig.
But what there is with Jansen, there's incredible substance. I mean, he digs in every area of the game and wants to contribute. And I don't care. I've seen him, you know, play the wing late in a game and grind the puck out, winning faceoffs, taking a hit, doing the smart things, like all those things that like add up to winning. And I say they're all 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but at the end of the day, it ends up equating to winning. He has all those abilities. He's smart. He's got good hands. He's got a tenacity and a determination to him. You know, it's not just understanding what to do. He gets in there and does it. He gets his hands dirty. And he wants to be that difference maker in somehow, some way. And, you know, we're talking about a guy that had almost 80 points in the Western Hockey League this year. So we're not talking about just some guy that goes out there and plugs away and has a great work ethic. Hey, the work ethic is, to me, just a minimum requirement. It's everything he does above and beyond the work ethic. And to me, he's got numerous qualities that really make a very effective player. So when I look at all those qualities, I don't think that the Winnipeg Jets or other teams overlook them. It just depends on how they rank them vis-a-vis other players.
Craig Button is TSN's director of scouting. He joins us on the Illegal Curve awesome. Hockey Show to discuss the NHL draft. Craig, greatly appreciate your time this morning, and thanks very much for joining us here on TSN 1290.
Always my pleasure, guys. Anytime.
Take care, Craig. Thanks again. Let's head to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN 1290. Big thank you to Craig Button, and of course before him, big thank you to Grant Saunier of the Charlottetown Islanders. In case you missed any of those interviews or the interviews we did earlier in the show with Brendan Savage of MLive.com and Chris Dingman, Tampa Bay Lightning color analyst, entire show will be available on iTunes sometime later on today, probably. Also on our website, IllegalCurve.com. Great insight into the NHL draft, of course, which is rapidly approaching, 2 weeks less a day here. And complete coverage, of course, on TSN 1290. This segment of the program is brought to you by our friends at Bernstein's Deli, the official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey, conveniently located at Cordon and Lanark in the Cordon Village Mall. Bernstein's is a family-owned and operated traditional-style deli. Take it home or eat in their full-service restaurant. Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for nearly 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com.
I'm getting hungry now, Drew.
Yeah, there's no surprise there whatsoever.
You know what happens? Yeah. You start, you know, doing that Bernstein's read, and then I get excited.
You get
and
a little hankering for some corned beef. I know how you work there, Izzy.
More like chicken. I like that chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
Put a little syrup on there.
Yeah, that's good. That's good eating. That's good eating. No argument.
Good
there
show
whatsoever.
So far today, boys.
Yeah, a lot of great draft insight. I'm getting excited for the draft. You know, it takes you a little bit of time to get up for it. But next week, of course, we'll do the USHL prospects.
Yep.
We haven't done the Western Hockey League prospects yet either.
We have not.
So next week we'll do the USHL prospects and the Western Hockey League prospects, and we'll have you completely set for I guess what is it, June the
26th,
and 27th in Sunrise.
Yeah, and we'll be down there. Dave and I will be down there, and looking forward to it. And I know that people love, you know, listening to this because the Stanley Cup Finals are still going on. Obviously, you know, some people I guess would like it to end a little quicker. Yeah,
the Jets are involved,
you know, that's what people want to talk about. You know, the young prospects and the Jets this year with the two first round picks. That's people want to hear about these prospects, and you know, there's no better person to have on than Craig Button and Grant Saunier. You know, they're more knowledgeable than anybody in the game right now. So you know, it's exciting. You know, people are texting me about some of the players that, you know, we want to, you know, talk about here. And, you know, it's interesting. I still think that the Jets are going to use their two first-round picks. I know some people think that they might, you know, trade one of those picks. But, you know, based on the Jets' history, I think they're going to end up using those.
Yeah, well, you will find out in 2 weeks less a day, like I said. Interesting team in the Jets division. I want to spend a couple minutes on just before we get to the top of the hour. Dallas Stars, they sort of have a weird goaltending situation that they need to resolve before the start of the season, in that they had made a long-term commitment to Kari Lehtinen. And, Richie, I know you were a big fan of Kari Lehtinen.
I like Kari Lehtinen. I still do.
You still do? Even yeah, I do. I mean, sort of had a weird year in that he had a lot of wins. He had 34 wins this year. His record isn't terrible this year for the Dallas Stars. 34 wins, 17 losses, 10 overtime defeats. So, you know, you take a goalie with 34 wins, that's going to be, you know, that's what we're going to rank him in the top 10 among goaltenders. But his numbers themselves were not good. 2.94 goals against average, that's 36th in the NHL. A save percentage of .903, that's 41st in the NHL. And the Stars right now, they don't have a backup goaltender, nor do they have anybody really coming up through the pipeline.
Well, they have Jack Campbell, but they don't want to rush him.
Yeah, and then there's question. I mean, Jack Campbell, he's an RFA, and he's already 23 years old. So there's a question
Bishop. I mean, Drew, these goalies, they develop late, right?
I know.
So. Look at Andrew Hammond.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So the Dallas Stars are, you know, Jim Nill was talking about it earlier in the week in an interview he did with Mike Hike of the Dallas Morning News, talking about, you know, how do you handle the Caps goaltending situation? Lettinen under contract for 3 more years at $5.9 million per season. Mm-hmm. So I'm of the opinion that the Stars will probably go with Lettinen again, and they won't use a buyout. You can't really trade that contract right now.
I'm not so sure you can trade that contract, Drew.
With a $6 million a year cap hit?
I'm not so sure you can trade that contract.
Really? For a 31-year-old goaltender coming off bad numbers?
I think you can trade everything and everybody.
Sure, obviously.
Do I think that teams will be champing at the bit to get a guy like that? Not necessarily, but I think teams would be open to it. 31-year-old goaltender, I don't think it's old by goaltender in any means. The Dallas Stars do not play a defensive style of play. If anything, they open it up as much of any team in the National Hockey League. That is a factor in his numbers. Mm-hmm. Did he struggle at times? For sure. Injury issues have been something in the past that he's faced, of course. Talent-wise, I think he's just right up there. I think he is a very good netminder, and I think there are, for example, if you're a team with young players and lower cap hits on those guys, and in 3 years you need to sign them, theoretically, Edmonton. You need to sign Connor McDavid after you draft him in 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. You need to sign some of the other guys in 3 years. Maybe you will log in. Obviously, you need some defensive help. Maybe you will say, you know what? I want a good netminder who's got a pedigree, who's played in a style of play, you know, that's offensive and can deal with some of these poor numbers at times. I would look into that. I think Lettinen's a good goalie. I wouldn't be scared off by those numbers. The injury stuff would worry me a little bit more.
Do you think he needs a real bona fide solid backup who can push him for some playing time, or do you think last year was an aberration? Because right before last year, his numbers certainly were trending that he was going to be one of the top goaltenders in the NHL.
I think Kari Lehtinen is a very good goaltender.
Right, but you know, we've said this time and time again with the numbers. First off, the goals against average, as we know, and Richie and I have talked about this many times before on air and off air, that's a team stat. Save percentage, you got to look at even strength save percentage. You talked about
that. And that's also a team stat to an extent.
Exactly.
Not as much an extent as goals against average.
You got to factor in Dallas's defense was a mess this year. And we talked about it. That's one of the reasons why, you know, Dallas and Colorado, I would say specifically, they had trouble moving the puck. You know, and John Klingberg, if John Klingberg didn't really emerge, Drew, of course, the brother of Carl Klingberg, if he didn't emerge and they just signed him to a contract, I mean, they were really struggling there, and they made they traded Brendan Dillon out of there, you know, for that reason, because they wanted, you know, to add that puck rushing element. But, you know, this defense, like, I like Trevor Daley, and, you know, but this is a team that, you know, when you compare it to the top teams in the Western Conference, you know, they lack that mobility a little bit on the defensive end. And I like Jordy Benn. You know, they've got a lot of, you know grit there on the back end. But to me, that's also one of the reasons why Kari Lehtinen had such a bad year. And sure, Drew, you mentioned the question, can he play 65 games a year? You know, he's not old. I mean, he's 31 years old, but it's with the injury problems. Does he need to have a guy that can play 30 games? He plays 50 games, something like that. That's maybe something, I think they absolutely have to bring in someone if they don't have the faith in Jack Campbell. You're right. I mean, Jack Campbell, is this his time to be, given the backup role? Maybe.
I don't think so. I think you want him to play and play his way in. Like that, Jim Neal comes from Detroit. Play your way onto the team and play. And play, if you're going to play, play a lot. Right? Jimmy Howard, they developed. Mm-hmm. When did he come up? And he comes, you know, through the
45
system.
Something like that.
So
when Peter Mrazek's ready, he can push him.
That's right, but he'd play their big minutes at the beginning, you know, in the AHL. You look at him, 65 games the past 2 years, though. So the injury history, and I mentioned that because the beginning of his career was especially an issue. It's less
when
so
he was
of an
back
issue
in
now.
Atlanta.
I agree with Rich, though. Want to talk about draft picks. He was a second overall draft pick in 2002, and I agree with Rich. I mean, this is an elite goalie. I mean, he's a bona fide number one goalie. When Dallas made the playoffs 2 years ago, I mean, Lettinen was incredible. And I think, you know,
I like him.
I think you're talking about a guy, and as you mentioned, Drew, I don't think they're trading him. And I who knows how many teams would want Kari Lehtinen, because there are only so many starting roles in the NHL, because you'd have to give up and you got the contract. But I do think if they did choose to move him, because he's so good, a couple teams would probably be serious pursuers of him. But I do think that, you know, along with Rich, he had a bad year. And, you know, you look at the numbers. I'm not saying that, you know, Drew, it's not worth bringing up, but I do think that, you know, your numbers are bad on a bad team. You know, yeah. It's probably an aberration for a guy that has a track record of being a great goalie.
In a tough division, too, and he's an athletic goaltender. He's really athletic. To me, he's a smart goaltender, too, reads the play well, 6'4". So I think he's got what you want there. If you were to drop him into New York Rangers, I think his save percentage would be .925 probably.
Let's head to break. When we come back, we're going to shift back to the Stanley Cup Finals and discuss Steven Stamkos and his long-term future in Tampa Bay. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's an IC Saturday on TSN 1290. Two hours down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. This segment of the show is brought to you by Frank Zappia and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtor of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction. For all your real estate needs, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia online at zappiagroup.com or at 204-772-2100. It's great to run into Frank and his family yesterday at the soccer game. I had a nice opportunity to sit down and chat with them for briefly as we were milling our way about in between the two, between the Australia-Nigeria game and then the U.S.-Sweden last night at Winnipeg Stadium. Apparently, it's been renamed, of course. For the FIFA, they don't call it Investors Group Field. It's just known as Winnipeg Stadium.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Somebody was mentioning they did the
FIFA
same.
FIFA does that.
The IOC does the same thing. When the Olympics were in Vancouver, of course, it wasn't GM Place. It was, I don't remember what they called it. I think Vancouver Arena or some sort of generic name.
I forget
of
what
that
it was,
nature.
Yeah.
Well, FIFA's a well-run organization.
Yeah, I mean, there's no corruption in either of those organizations.
None whatsoever, especially, yeah.
How much do they get paid? How much do they pocket to call the Winnipeg Stadium?
Probably. The city of Winnipeg has
like
to pay a bribe.
Investor groups, like competitor, pays them.
That's right, to take away the name. Yeah. No, I thought, it was a great experience here. I thought FIFA, you know, if this had been the Men's World Cup, FIFA would have poured unlimited resources behind it, mm-hmm. For the Women's World Cup, I think that they just it's women, it doesn't matter as much, and I think that's a shame, and that's it falls at the footsteps of FIFA, of course. I thought the city of Winnipeg did a good job to try and drum it up as much as possible. I know you want to get back.
Is Graham Leggett going to come on next? Is he still around, Graham Leggett? Remember Soccer Saturday with Graham Leggett?
That's an old school reference right there. I do remember that. I was trying to think. I was confusing him with Ian Leggett, the golfer, but you're right. Soccer Saturday with Graham Leggett.
I used to be on Saturday mornings, and this is when the Blue Jays game used to be on TSN TV, and I'd wake up and it'd be a noon game, and you'd want to watch the Jays, but you have to watch Graham Leggett before.
Right.
Saturday.
That's a real old school reference there, Richard. I guess you're wearing a 1982 Expos All-Star Game hat right
now. That
might
be so back in the days of when it was Sports Desk and not Sports Center.
Oh,
right.
Certainly would have been Sports Desk.
100% that was Sports Desk.
Yeah, the old TSN logo with the, what was it, black and yellow?
Yes.
Yeah.
Black and yellow.
She's got Mark Bunting on right now.
What?
She's got Mark Bunting on right now.
Yeah. I don't even know. Where's Michael Whalen these days?
Oh, he's classic country, Montreal.
Ken Chilibeck is confirmed for the next segment.
Edmonton.
Yeah. Steven Stamkos and his long-term future in Tampa Bay. And it's sort of hard to believe because, superstars don't hit the free agency market in the NHL nowadays. Very rarely.
Well, since Parise Suter.
Yeah, since Parise Suter. That's right. Steven Stamkos is an unrestricted free agent after this season. And Steve Simmons... After the next season. Sorry, after 2015-16. And Steve Simmons in the Toronto Sun has an interesting article, or he had an interesting column about Stamkos and his future with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And here's a quote from that. Here's a comment from that. The Johnson triplets line is clearly John Cooper's favorite. He won an American Hockey League championship coaching 2/3 of them. Those are his boys. He talks about them the way a father brags about his children. Any minute now, you expect him to pull out the baby pictures. He does say nice things about Stamkos, too. He just doesn't gush about his captain. but he does play him less. This was after game one when Stamkos had the sixth most minutes of any Tampa Bay forward. And there are those who believe Cooper favors those who played for him in the minors over those who did not. That may be his coaching comfort zone. It may eventually be his undoing in Tampa Bay. Do you think there's some truth to Steven Stamkos maybe not being a long-term in Tampa Bay when his contract expires at the end of next season?
Well, I'll tell you this. You see, there's always articles written about how classy the player is when he's not playing as much as he wants. I would tell you that, in my opinion, that some teams, most teams, in fact, in my opinion, want their player to be angry about not playing as much. They want them to be PO'd because they're competitors. So if you think that Steven Stamkos is happy or content with playing the six most minutes at forward, like, just think about your team. You're playing hockey, with your rec league team, okay? You're arguably the best player on the team. If one or two guys plays a little more than you, you're okay, you know, let it slide. Even in beer league, six guys play more than you, you're thinking to yourself, like, what's going on here? And so the teams aren't as different as they are in the National Hockey League. I mean, he thinks he's the best player on the team, I assume, because he is the best player on the team. I know Tyler Johnson's been great, but Stamkos, if you had a draft in the National Hockey League, he would go before Tyler Johnson. Maybe Hedman would go before him on D, but yeah. In any event, forward, okay? So he's thinking to himself, what the heck's going on? Why is Ryan Callahan on at the end of the game instead of me? And I don't care what he can do. He can't shoot like I can. So he's playing it. You know, he's not going to make a controversy now. But if he's a competitor, there's no way he likes what's happening here in terms of not always. Now, he's played more in the last few games.
Yes. In the interest of fairness, in game two, second most ice time among Tampa Bay forwards. Games three and four, the most ice time among Tampa Bay forwards.
Yes. But if you're Stamkos, you want to play the most every game.
Of course.
So I personally think that he's probably pretty aggravated about it. And if this were to continue, his goal right now is the cup. And it'll be next year to be the cup. But if this were to continue, he's going to say, well, maybe I'll go somewhere else where I'll play top minutes every night because I want to win as a top. The best players want to win as a top dog. That's what makes them the best players.
Richie, I agree with you, but I think there's issues being clouded here. I think there's the Steven Stamkos ice time issue, the maybe lack of ice time, the lack of, and by the way, I love Steve Simmons. He's obviously, you know, exaggerating and, you know, for the purposes of writing an article. I'm not saying that, you know, John Cooper doesn't favor the triplets line over Steven Stamkos in certain situations, but, you know, to say that, you know, he doesn't know how good of a player Steven Stamkos is. I mean, he knows Steven Stamkos is the best goal scorer in the NHL, or again, maybe Ovechkin's the one guy that you could say is a better goal scorer, but he's the best goal scorer in the NHL, right? He's got 60 goals. To me, the issue is not just about what's going on in this series. They're trying to win the Stanley Cup here. I mean, I think, you know, that argument is, well, should they be using Steven? To me, I think if John Cooper has one flaw right now in this series, Rich, and I know you like Cedric Paquette. I like Cedric Paquette, too. Mm-hmm. Cedric Paquette, to me, is like a kind of a smaller Claude Lemieux type of pest guy. He's not as even close to as good of a goal scorer as Claude Lemieux. But to me, he's doing a great job kind of getting in the face of the Chicago Blackhawks forwards, especially Taves. But to me, you fixated too much on Cedric Paquette's role and shutting down, you know, the Taves-Hossa line. And I don't think you've managed to open up the game offensively enough. That's, to me, Steven Stamkos is the best player on best forward on either team. And, you know, it's close between him and Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves. But offensively, to me, you could say Kane is better. We could have that argument. But to me, as a goal scorer, he hasn't opened up the found a way to maximize Steven Stamkos. He might be fighting through something, but to me, Drew, the question of, you know, did they get along? What's the long-term future? If they don't get along and he isn't part of the long-term future, to me, it's more than just the ice time, Rich. It's, you know, if there's two ways they can go, right? It's sign Steven Stamkos to a contract where he makes a lot of money, or you're going to trade him, and it's going to be one of the biggest trades in NHL history. Because if you're going to try to get Steven Stamkos the year before he becomes a free agent, you're going to have to give up first-round picks. You're going to have to give up roster players because you're talking about a guy who's still in the prime of his career, right? So, I mean,
you're going to have to sign Kucherov, Palat, and John Kucherov after next season, then Palat and Johnson in the year after that.
Like, guys, if you're Stevie Yzerman, and again, I think they're all focused right now on the Stanley Cup and heading into the draft, but if you're Stevie Yzerman and you do have the opportunity to trade him, or you're thinking about trading him. I mean, you're talking about a guy that you're not going to get a Steven Stamkos in return. It's one of those players that you're not going to get a player as good in return. You just won't.
Right. You can't. I mean, it's impossible. There's never a time when, is Ovechkin going to become disgruntled and all of a sudden you're trading Ovechkin for Stamkos?
But Stamkos is younger, so you wouldn't make that
trade. Of course you would.
I agree with Richie.
What I'm saying in terms of the skill level.
I agree with Steve Simmons' article and Rich that there's something going on here. And John Cooper, the Jonathan Drouin, John Cooper. I mean, Jonathan Drouin's a very high first-round pick, and they're not using him. To me, I know Chris Dingman was on earlier, and he likes how they're using seven defensemen because he thinks there might be some bruises on the back end there. But like, especially when you're goal-starved and you're not using Jonathan Drouin, and when they picked Marchessault over Jonathan Drouin, but it's very odd.
Drouin, I think that's...
They don't like the way he plays defensively.
And I understand that younger player and attitude stuff and all that, but Steven Stamkos is arguably the best player in the league. Mm-hmm. You could argue he's the best player in the league. And I think, personally, I can tell you another opinion I have. I don't think right wing is the place for Steven Stamkos.
Well, here's more from Steve Simmons. Stamkos is a free agent come next June. Once upon a time, it seemed far-fetched that he would ever leave Tampa Bay. But now he's playing the wing instead of center, getting second-line minutes for a coach who doesn't favor him.
Well, I mean, Simmons is a little bit dramatic in the article. I'm saying right wing.
Yeah.
To me, if I'm going to play him on any wing, it's going to be the left wing because he can come off the half boards on the left side into the slot for the one-timer on his off wing. Right now, I feel like aside from dropping up high in the – if you're the puck's deep in the right wing, in the right corner, and he drops up, as he did a couple of times against the Rangers, drops into the kind of where the faceoff dot is on the right side, he can take a one-timer. But he's limited in that respect. And I realize because of Killorn on the left side and Filppula succeeding at center, where do you play Filppula? And the fact their depth is an issue and they play Callahan on the third line, these are all factors. Okay, I realize that. But I just don't think where he is right now is also a place to succeed. And if he's not playing where he wants to and not playing as much as he wants to, that could lead to him being disgruntled. Now, if they win, you won't hear anything about this until next year. And if they lose, you might hear about it before that.
Don't you want or wouldn't you rather have 100% of Steven Stamkos and 60% of Ryan Callahan than 90% of Steven Stamkos and 70% of Ryan Callahan?
Yeah, but... Are you talking about at the end of the game? Or are you talking about just in general? Because they're playing general, different roles here, Drew.
I know. I'm not using not Ryan Callahan specifically, but don't you want to put Steven Stamkos in the position where he can best perform because nobody else is going to be able to perform it to that level? To your point of playing him on the left side as opposed to the right side.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. But then you're going to have to play Killorn with a different
Yeah, but he's Alex Killorn, he's Steven Stamkos.
More so the center aspect, I think, and that's the aspect.
Well, no, it's not. It's not. First off, Alex Killorn and Ryan Callahan have been their best forwards in the series. They each
that's
have
what
four
I mean,
points,
right? So I'm saying
five points. But no, it's not. It's not. It's a question to me, and I agree 100% with what Rich is saying. It's that you're changing the position at the most crucial time, right? Playing center versus right wing is completely different. It just is. And Stamkos right now, he's had a great playoffs. And I agree with you, Rich. I'm a huge fan of Stamkos.
He's been real good.
It's a question of because Callahan had the injury, they moved Filppula up to the first line.
That's right.
Right, as you said. But it's question is this the most successful way to win this series? And hey, the Tampa Bay Lightning have just as good a chance as the Blackhawks of winning the series. It's a best of three right now.
Yeah.
But are you maximizing these players? And right now, with Tyler Johnson injured, you need Stamkos. And to me, if the Tampa Bay Lightning end up winning the Stanley Cup, it's going to be because Steven Stamkos gets some key goals.
Can't argue with that. Let's head to break. When we come back, it's our UFA of the Week segment. We discuss Matt Beleski. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's an IC Saturday on TSN 1290. Anaheim Ducks forward Matt Beleski scoring in a game. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end, I guess come July 1st. And he's the subject of this week's UFA of the Week here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. The segment brought to you by our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit RumorsComedyClub.com. Tonight at Rumors, Greg Warren is in town for his final show. The 10 o'clock show is already sold out. Some tickets available for 7:15. And also just announced earlier this week at Rumors, coming back in mid-August, August 14th and 15th, Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah, Rumors is killing it with this list here.
It's unreal.
John Lovitz, Gilbert Gottfried. Gilbert Gottfried's one of my favorites.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I love him. At the roast, too. He's so funny.
Well, August 14th and 15th, Gilbert Gottfried at Rumors it's Comedy
unreal.
Club. Tickets on sale now. You can check it out, RumorsComedyClub.com. So Matt Bolesky of the Anaheim Ducks becomes a UFA on July 1st, coming off of a two-year, $2.7 million contract with a salary cap hit of $1.35 million. Generally thought that he's in line for a raise, especially after putting up 22 goals this season, which is certainly an outlier based on his historical precedent in terms of goal scoring. How much of that is a concern to you, that he's never really been anywhere near 22 goals? Previously, his career high was 11 goals. How much of a concern is that to you, or do you still back up the truck of money for Matt Bolesky on July 1st?
Well, I mean, if I'm backing up the truck, it better have money. I mean, what else would it have? Like,
I don't know. Maybe he's
like fries?
Going, I don't know. Maybe he's going to be like Kramer, and he's going to exchange for celebrity.
Well, a couple things here, Drew. I think the first thing is his career high in goals. I mean, you're looking at a guy, and look at his age, okay? The guy's 27 years old. I mean, he had played 70 games with the Ducks in 2011, had 4 goals. But aside from that, he hadn't played in a ton of games. This year, he finally has his chance where he plays 65 games and he gets 22 goals. Now, you have to think about what he brings to the table. He's, to me, very, very ferocious on the forecheck, which is exactly in line with the way they want to play, especially complementing the likes of a Kessler, the likes of a Getzlaff. He's physical. He's willing to dig in the corners. He's got a really good shot. And he'll lean on you, and he competes hard. I think all those things make him a very good option in free agency. Now, the problem is with a guy like Bolesky. I think Bolesky's got the hands capable of scoring 30 goals. Will he do it consistently? Probably not. But I think he does have the hands capable of scoring 30 goals. Now, he plays a little bit of a reckless style at times that might not be conducive to 82 games a year. But you can't... He can play on your top line if you have two real good talented players, Getzlaff and Perry. Probably more suited to your second line, ideally. But again, it's a case-by-case basis. You can't just pay whatever he wants to, a top six left winger. But he's worth, I mean, on a contract with the Ducks, they're probably going to have to pay him. I guess in the free agent market, he probably gets 4 years, $20 million. Like, that's what I would guess. 4 years, $20 million. Maybe, I know he wants to stay in Anaheim, and I know he's indicated that he, so much that he wants to stay there, maybe he'll take 4 years, 16, 18 kind of thing. But that's what you're going to be paying, I think, 4 years, $20 on the market. Because, some people may say, like Brian Bicholo, he looks more effective in the play. He's a good player. He is, to me, he's worth a few teams going in on, because that's the kind of guy you want going into battle in your top six, especially in the playoffs.
I agree, Richie. He's not Matt Bolesky's not a $6 or $7 million player, and nope. His game is different than Brian Bickle. I agree with you. He's got better hands, better shot than Brian Bickle. And Brian Bickle's a great player, and he's obviously didn't play last game, but he, he's been great for the Chicago Blackhawks, especially in the playoffs.
Not this year, but past playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Matt Bolesky, we saw how good he was against the Jets and throughout the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And, Drew, I see what you're saying about, his kind of lack of scoring in previous years, but really he's a player who came up through the AHL and he took a while to develop. He didn't really hit a stride until 24, 25 years old, right? So I think based on what he did this year, and specifically the playoffs, I agree with Rich. A player like him who has that physicality, that tenacity, he's a guy that suits the Anaheim Ducks style perfectly. He'd suit the LA Kings style
Absolutely.
Perfectly, right? So a guy like Matt Bolesky, I think they're going to re-sign him. I actually thought it might happen after they got knocked out, because I believe they can sign him, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so, he can re-sign the
role. I was actually thinking that they might have announced that they were going to be signing him, because I don't think they ideally want him to even get to the free agent market. Maybe they wait because the agent, you know, that's maybe the course of action that they want. But I agree with Rich. I think Bolesky is going to be staying in Anaheim. I'm not saying that, you know, he doesn't go elsewhere, because maybe he asks for too much money, and it's always possible, right, Richie? But I think, you know, Bolesky to me, you know he's in his later 20s now. You know, it's a situation where I think he'd be a perfect guy, because this Ducks team, we talked about it last week. We were talking about Bruce Boudreau. Look at all the youth on the team. You know, Sammy Vatanen, Hampus Lindholm, Fowler, they're all young on defense there. Mm-hmm. You know, Emerson Edom had a good playoffs. You know, they're young. You know, they didn't even use a guy like Yuri Sakach, who was traded for Devontae Smith-Pelly. I mean, this Anaheim Ducks team, I think, is going to be a good team, you know, for the foreseeable future. It's a team that, you know, next year, they want to get back to the Stanley Cup Finals. They got to figure a way to beat the Chicago Blackhawks, right? That's the team you got to knock off in the West. But to me, Bolesky fits into that where they're going perfectly.
It looks like Don Sweeney is going to look to trade Milan Lucic. That's what the rumors say, that he's going to trade Milan Lucic. And if you have to trade for Milan Lucic, and I like Milan Lucic, if you have to trade for Milan Lucic, or you can possibly sign Bolesky, I mean, Lucic will give you more assists. It'd be more of an effective player. But that's the thing. Yeah. Like, you don't have to give up anything for Bolesky, and you have to give up something for Lucic. The team who might not get Lucic, if they're interested, might want to go after a guy like Bolesky.
But you're talking, you know, $5 million a year, which is, you know, you're spitballing before. I mean, this is a guy who, let's say he regresses on the goal total a little bit. That's, you know, let's say he has 18 goals. Let's say, you know,
he plays more games, you know, that's 20.
Yeah, he didn't play a full year.
That's right.
Year,
he didn't play a full year, but you mentioned, you know, his style would lead him to sometimes being banged up.
Yeah,
so, you know, let's, for argument's sake, say he plays, you know, 20, he gets 20 goals this year.
Yeah.
You're talking about paying, you know, $5 million a year for a guy who, I mean, he's not a setup guy.
He's not a setup guy. It's what I think he will get.
Right.
So Jeff Petry just got $5.5 million.
I know.
On a 6-year deal.
I know. I mean, you're talking, it's a huge amount of money for a guy who might get you, you know, top end probably 40 points.
Yeah. 45 probably. 50, well, 50 at the absolute top end. 40 is probably safe. 40.
But again, Drew, you're also getting a player who's really physical. He's a guy that's, you know, responsibly defensively. You know what you're getting with Matt Bolesky. And this year, you know, he had a breakout year in the regular season, continued that in the playoffs after suffering that injury. Mm-hmm. So I think that, maybe the most points he gets is 50, 55 points. I think that's, if he plays a full season, I could see him hitting that 25 to 30 goals. Yeah, I think that's $5 million. That's about what you get for that.
I can think of, to be honest, if you look at most of the rosters in the league, they could use a guy like him.
At $5 million, even if the
point, I don't know about a $5 million.
But just,
yeah.
Anybody who hits, you know, that's the beauty of having a career year right before free agency.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff Petry did the same thing in, you know, obviously a defenseman, so not a comparable, but career year, or, you know, the Montreal Canadiens loved him and they decided to, you know.
Who doesn't want a big guy who can be physical and shoot the puck?
Everybody does.
You know?
But, I mean, at some point, what happens if, you know, if the points, you know, they're talking about 35, 40 points potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money, but I understand that's, I guess, the way the league works nowadays.
I'm saying a 4-year deal. I said picked 4 for a reason, because you're looking at, and probably get more because these GMs just give whatever they want, but 27 to 31, those are the big years. For a guy who plays physical game, you don't want to be given long-term deals to guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Johan Franzen. The guys who play aren't afraid of contact. It's tough. Wendell Clark, Cam Neely, Owen Nolan. These guys who play real physical, it's tough for them to age well. Eric Lindros.
Sure. It certainly, the miles add up very quickly when you're playing a physical style. Let's head to break. When we come back, unfortunately, it's the latest on the Arizona Coyotes.
Thought it was banned.
It wasn't banned. You said it was. You said I could put it in the show plan. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
Not only has the team filed a lawsuit today, but the mayor of Phoenix has also invited the Coyotes to come back home. Remember, when the Coyotes moved their franchise to Arizona, they played there from 96 until 2003 when they moved to Glendale. Now that they could be out of a home, Phoenix is saying, come on back, we've got space for you. On the good side for the team, you could have a preliminary injunction as soon as next week. But here's the bad news. This could take years to work its way through the court systems. You're talking about discovery. You're talking about a trial. And even the possibility of two appeals courts. And remember, even if the city has to pay money in the damages, whether it's $200 million or less, they won't have to pay a dime until they've exhausted all of their appeals. So it could be a long time before the Coyotes get a cent out of the city.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, where we are now going to discuss the latest in the Arizona Coyotes, City of Glendale, never, and this is truly the real never-ending story.
Well, I mean, Gary Bettman screwed this one up.
Of course.
What is going on here?
I should mention this segment is brought to you by Royal Sports. Since 1974, Royal Sports has been Winnipeg's number one hockey shop.
Since 1996, the Phoenix Coyotes have been a royal failure. Royal, of course, is not a failure. They've been a great success story in the city.
Yes, since 1974, in fact. They're the number one hockey shop, plus so much more, like soccer, baseball, bikes, skateboards, and the city's largest selection of athletic and casual footwear. For locations, hours, and more, check them out online at royalsports.me.
There's actually a new sale at Royal this afternoon. You can go into the store and actually buy the Coyotes.
Oh, you can buy the Coyotes.
Yeah, they're just for sale.
They're just, yeah.
And then it comes within a restraining order against you, Drew.
Oh, naturally. Yeah, I mean, they just give those out at the till nowadays for many different retailers.
But before you get into this seriously, like, what is going on? Like I don't get any of this. Like this, how do you file a restraining order? I was on the warm up yesterday, and Remus and Darren Bombing were asking me about this. Like, when this came out, I mean,
this might be a good time to remind people what you got on the LSAT.
Are you the Jeffrey Toobin of 1290?
I did write the LSAT. The last thing that we want to talk about, Richie, in June. Is the Phoenix Coyotes, pardon me,
Arizona.
They might be the Phoenix Coyotes pretty soon.
Who knows?
But the last thing we want to talk about is the ownership situation. And it's almost like does the Glendale City Council, like, is this what they want to do? Torture? Are they trying to torture us?
Actually, I think this is the first smart decision made by the Glendale City Council, because obviously the city of Glendale can't afford this terrible arena deal.
So, you know, they're giving them about $15 to $16 million a year. The city is giving the team, and the team's supposed to repay them a certain percentage, I believe it is.
It's an arena management deal.
Yeah, but I think last year they paid back $6.5 million.
Right.
So I think it was. So they're at about $8.5 million short. So they lost $8.5 million last year in this deal, basically.
For a city that's laying off workers and is, you know, on the verge of bankruptcy.
Well,
I mean,
I guess if you don't just look at it in a vacuum, how much does that bring to the economy aside from the money back to the team? I don't know. I don't know the details of the management contract, but
I just think about little Logan. That's what I think about.
Well, there's this new nurse. Did you see this? She came.
She was passionate.
She was passionate, yeah.
Yeah, she was not happy with the mayor of Glendale, who, she accused him of taking free tickets with the left hand and then bashing the team with the right hand, which, you know, she's probably not wrong.
Well, I thought, do you even have to pay for tickets there? Aren't all tickets free?
I don't know. Except for the games where the Jets fans invade, Arizona and other Canadian cities go down there. It never ends. I mean, this has been a disaster from day one. Why Gary? I mean, doesn't he at some point? How big is his ego that at some point in time you just have to sort of cut your losses and work your way around this?
Is there not something else here? Like, it's enough already. I mean, what's the deal here?
It's just his ego at this point in time, as far as I can tell. I mean, this obviously isn't going to work.
See, I don't think it is. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's an ego there, but I think it's something else we just don't know about. I mean, because it's just too much. Too invested here.
So what do you think there is?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it is at all, but it just doesn't seem like he cut his losses in Atlanta pretty quickly.
Yeah, he did. That's true. Why is he going to bat for Arizona but not for Atlanta?
Continually.
Yeah.
For a team that's lost hundreds of millions of dollars? Could you say the team's lost hundreds of millions?
It's possible.
I think it's probably
tens of millions.
Now, the team will sell and the league will take a cut of the relocation fee they created when the Jets came. Mm-hmm. And the guy who bought it, I'm sure, took on a bunch of the debt, quote unquote, probably paid nothing for it, and will probably get his money back at least and buy another team later. That seems to be, you know, like Leopold or whatever else in other leagues. Don't cry for those guys.
No, I never cry for ownership.
But if you look at the details of this, it's Glendale is trying to, they see, kind of a little bit of an opening here, and they're going after it, and they figure, what do we have to lose? We're already losing $8.5 million a year.
Well,
how much are legal fees going to cost?
You know, Glendale filed, or the Coyotes are filing a $200 million lawsuit against the city of Glendale, which is great. Why don't you file an $800 million lawsuit? They can't afford it. They'll just declare bankruptcy if they were to be found in judgment against. So, I mean, you can pick up any number. It doesn't mean anything at that point in time. You know, this is just...
It's a mockery.
It's just such a disaster. And I mean, the timing, of course, is terrible, given that it happened in the middle of, you know, of the Stanley Cup finals.
It serves them right, though.
Of course it serves them right.
You leave it there long enough. I mean, cry about that.
No, of course it serves the NHL right. This is just... It just never ends, this epic failure.
Nobody cares about the team there, or very few people care about the team there. They had no ratings. Just move on, okay? Enough already. You have this Quebec City Arena being built. You can move into Seattle, you can move into Portland, you can move into Vegas. Wherever you move, it's going to be better than there.
Well, the interesting part is we're sitting here. I mean, this is June 13th. The NHL schedule's got to be coming out within the next 2 weeks.
Last year it came out on June 22nd.
Okay, so, you know, in the next 2 weeks, you'd expect to see an NHL schedule. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the city of Glendale sounds like they're not going to let the Coyotes play in the arena.
Well, they're just trying to book the same, like, not the same dates. They don't know the dates. Well, actually, that's not true, because I think some schedules have kind of been leaked already. I've heard that basically it's done. So,
they don't have a lease anymore.
No, I'm saying they're just booking, trying to book concerts for next year whenever they want.
Yeah, they don't have a lease. The Coyotes don't have a home arena
that's what
right
I'm saying.
Now.
What is going on here? Like, I mean, what, like they terminate the lease because of, and maybe you can go into this, Drew, and explain to the listeners about it, because, sure. You know, there was an employee. A district attorney, I believe.
Drew, why don't you just, yeah.
Okay,
that, so, and that's why, didn't they not use that as legal ramification or legal reasoning to terminate the lease?
Let me read this from Rick Westhead's article on TSN.ca. He's been absolutely nailing this story. You know, great insight on TSN.ca, and of course, he's on TSN TV talking about it a bunch. He's been on this station as well. The departure of former city attorney Craig Tindall from his position more than 2 years ago was central to the argument made by the city of Glendale to cancel the agreement. Tindall was asked to resign as city attorney in February 2013. He left his position on April 1st, 2013, but accepted 6 months of severance, meaning he was on the city payroll through October 1st of 2013. The city and the Coyotes reached their arena management deal, on July 2nd, 2013, when Tindall, who had already gone to work for the Coyotes, was still being paid by the city of Glendale. The city, in its vote on Wednesday to cancel the arena management deal, relied on State Statute 38-511. That statute, which is included in the arena management deal, says that the state can cancel a contract within 3 years if anyone involved in negotiating or drafting the contract for the state is an employee of any party to the contract, i.e. the Arizona Coyotes in this instance. So that's, I mean, it sounds, based on this gentleman's work history, this Craig Tindall, it sounds like the city of Glendale believes that they're on decent legal footing in regards to their rights to cancel the agreement.
Well, so, I mean, if you look at, I guess, technically, again, I don't know a lot about this, so I'm just kind of...
Well, Richie, please give me clarification. Well, you have the law degree. I don't get this.
Yeah, no, what it basically appears is that they're relying on legislation, and mm-hmm. if you read it, as you mentioned there, Drew, that is a violation of section whatever 38 it is, it appears, right?
Yeah, again, 38, I'm just 511.
So it appears that would be a violation. Now, one would question why, if he was hired in the summer of 2013, and we are now June 13th, 2015, they would suddenly be utilizing that loophole to opt out of the lease.
You're right. It's not really good faith by the city of Glendale, not by a long shot is a good faith, but they do seem to have some legal footing to stand on. And you would, I mean, granted, it's a clown show in Glendale. And
there's arguments both ways. Yeah,
it's been a clown show since day one. But you would have to hope that at least they would have some sort of legal opinion before embarking down this road that says you guys are going to win based on this statute, as opposed to having no legal backing at all, no legal leg to stand on, and then just, whenever this plays its way through the court systems, probably 20 years from now, ending up having to pay the Coyotes $200 million or whatever number they're being sued for at this point. It's just...
If you're the NHL, though, do you let it go on that long?
How can you? I mean,
that's what I mean. So, I mean, there's aspects of it that aren't just legal, right?
Right. But, I mean, at this point in time, the NHL seems to be taking the position, well, we're in for a dime, we're in for a dollar, we're going to dig our feet in.
In for a dime.
Well, you know.
And Richie,
they're in for about 100 million dimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though, to me, it's confusing as far as why they terminated the lease agreement, I understand the explanation that Drew read of Rick Westhead. I understand why they're using that. But to me, I mean, and you got to think how ticked off is the NHL right now? I mean, Gary Bettman wanted to spend his summer
But
dealing,
again,
dealing,
you,
and I know,
you
I know,
leave the situation and it's bad, and you don't address it, and they can say, oh, they've addressed, they really haven't. Then you can't come and cry about the fact that your NHL final, your Stanley Cup final, is being overshadowed by the Coyotes again.
Well, you do business with a clown show. Which is
really like this clown show thing.
Well, I mean, the city of Glendale is a clown show, and that's fine. I mean, the NHL should realize, well, you do business with a clown show from day one. It's no surprise that at some point in time, the clown show is going to bite you in the behind.
I'm scared of clowns.
I believe that.
What about Bozo the Clown? You don't know Bozo?
Yeah.
Hear me out here for one second, and then we can hopefully never talk about the Arizona Coyotes ownership situation ever again, even though I feel like we're going to be talking about it again this summer. Mm-hmm. To me, the writing was on the wall, and I guess what I thought that was maybe different was that this year Andrew Barraway bought into the team, and I thought that was going to stabilize the ICE Arizona group a little bit. But to me, Rich, that out clause after 5 years in the lease agreement that said if they lose a certain amount of money, they can terminate the lease, right? To me, that was like, okay, let's see how they do. Everyone's waiting. Okay, it's been 2 years. Let's wait another couple years to see, and they've – last time I saw, Gila River Arena wasn't selling out.
No. Well, and that you mentioned the arena, and this sort of brings up an interesting point. If the, I mean, I don't know how the Coyotes organization in the city of Glendale can ever do business together again in terms of a lease agreement for the Coyotes to play somewhere this year. So there's talk that they're going to move back to what was once the America West Arena is now called the Talking Stick Resort Arena, which is where the...
What?
The Talking Stick Resort
What's
Arena.
What's Talking Stick?
I don't know. It's a resort.
They love those terrible arena names in Arizona. Bring back jobbing.com.
That's, of course, where the Phoenix Suns play. So the Coyotes, who started off by playing in that arena, could move back there potentially for, you know, this season or a couple of years. Because there's, I mean, if you ask people, they say the biggest problem with the arena, of course, in Glendale is it's far away from Scottsdale. It's far away from downtown Phoenix, where the money is and where the people are. So maybe they move back to Talking Stick Resort Arena.
The Amelie, is it Amelie? His names are all. Just whatever happened to the Simple Arena?
Well,
Winnipeg Stadium, for example.
How long before the Coyotes moved to Quebec or Vegas?
You know, I'm curious if they moved back to this Talking Stick Resort Arena, what would it do to their attendance? If they became, you know, remember,
it
when
depends,
Bill Daly,
Drew, if you package your Suns tickets with your Coyotes tickets,
but when Bill
like they
Daly,
do in LA and Toronto.
When Bill Daly was on this show, how many years ago, talking before the Thrashers moved back to Winnipeg?
5 years. 5 years ago now.
Yeah, 5 years ago now, or even 6 years ago. Wasn't it 2009?
Yeah, I think it was 2009.
November 2009. Yes. He was on this show talking about how the arena in Atlanta was the biggest problem. Well, now maybe the Coyotes have sort of fallen ass backwards into getting a better arena situation in a better market, even though it's practically the same market. I'm interested to see if they end up there, if it would make any tangible difference. Maybe that's what the NHL is hoping for, is that somehow they end up back in a better located arena.
What's the Ottawa Arena these days? They change that every week.
Canadian Tire.
Yeah, Canadian Tire Center.
What was it before that?
Scotiabank Place.
Well, originally it was Correll.
Originally it was the Palladium.
Now that was a different arena, though.
Yeah, but
no, it wasn't. That was the
Was it called the Palladium?
It was the Palladium.
And then Correll Center.
Then the Correll Center. Then the Scotiabank Place. And then Canadian Tire Center.
Something else in there too, wasn't there?
Correll. I think that was it. I don't know.
I think we got all of them.
Yeah. In any event, the Coyotes are a disaster. News at 11. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising. One final segment on this Saturday morning here on TSN 1290. It's brought to you by Not Auto Corp. Be sure to visit their beautiful new luxury auto and art gallery at the corner of Waverly and McGilvery. For more information, check them out online at notautocorp.com. One final segment. It's called Rapid Fire. Let's get into it.
Rapid Fire.
As reported earlier in the week, TJ Gagliardi, who spent last season with the Jets, is off to play for Malmo of the Swedish Elite League in 38 games.
The Redhawks.
Pardon me?
Malmo, I think, aren't they called the Redhawks?
I think you're confusing them with the Fargo Moorhead Redhawks of the American Association.
Oh.
I have no idea. Malmo might be the Redhawks.
How do you know the last name of a team in Sweden?
I don't know. I used to be a fan of the Swedish League.
I got to be honest. I didn't know.
I always like Modo.
I didn't know that most of the Swedish Elite League teams had nicknames, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
You don't ever hear them. You just hear Moto or you hear...
There's always, every team has a nickname in every league, don't they? Or do they just have names? Anyways.
I used to be a fan of the Swedish league. What are you talking about?
Well, especially from, like, the Sedins. You know,
what are you talking about?
Hang on. I just want to make sure that I'm getting rid of this question immediately. The new rapid-fire question for right now is, are you claiming to have followed the Sedins when they played in the Swedish Elite League? Richard,
I did.
Do you think Ezzy followed the Sedins?
No, I mean, Ezzy did not follow the Sedins in the Swedish Elite League before they were drafted. What, 98 or 99?
I thought 99.
Ezzy can't even tell him the part in the dressing room.
And it's very difficult, too.
Yeah, he was telling
me. I bet, like, you know, the beat writers... like Ben Kuzma, because they've covered these guys long enough, they could tell the difference. But no, I remember because they were highly touted prospects. So I remember I followed them a little bit. And, you know, by the way, Malmo are called the Red Hawks.
You know what? I don't doubt that you were right because I don't know how in the world you knew that is amazing.
Well, you said I got it confused, but they are called the Red Hawks.
What was the question?
The question was, what's the biggest problem with TJ Gagliardi's
NHL game? Just surprised Drew's on office pools checking the hockey pool standings right now.
Yeah, I'm still in first. Do you want to deal with TJ Gagliardi's weaknesses?
I mean, he left. Look, we just move on with the TJ Gagliardi talk.
Thank you. Speaking in Chicago prior to Game 3, presumed second overall draft pick Jack Eichel continued to insist that he is undecided about turning pro after the NHL draft and that he may want to return to Boston University for his sophomore season. Mm-hmm. How surprised would you be if Eichel decided to continue his NCAA career rather than play for Buffalo next season?
Very surprised. I don't think that's likely to happen. I mean, you have to take him as word that it's a possibility, but I mean, the challenge of the National Hockey League, the ability to play with guys like Evander Kane and Bogosian and Matt Molson and all those guys in Buffalo and their young talent and play for Dan Bylsma, it's going to be too much. And the money, of course, first and foremost.
Yeah, he might be thinking about it, Richie. I mean, he's 18 years old, but I agree with Rich. I think, you know, Jack Eichel, and I think everybody knows that Jack Eichel can play in the NHL next year. He's that good. He's a top prospect any other year. Mm-hmm. You know, he could go first overall, but there happens to be a guy named Connor McDavid who might be the best prospect since Sidney Crosby going first overall this year. So I agree. It would be surprising to me if he doesn't head right to the NHL.
Prior to the morning skate of Game 3 between Chicago and Tampa Bay, disgraced former hockey executive Alan Eagleson was making the rounds at the United Center.
Why?
His presence caused NBC Sports analyst Barry Melrose
to
say...
Why is he there? He shouldn't be there.
Can I finish? They caused NBC Sports analyst Barry Melrose to say, quote, I don't like it. He shouldn't be...
ESPN.
Are they with NBC Sports, I think, now? That's what I read, at least. Maybe still with ESPN.
So I'm on ESPN 2 weeks ago, and I was
okay,
there.
Then maybe still with it. Then, you know, where I got the quote from was wrong.
Okay.
Quote, I don't like it. He shouldn't be allowed to be here. I can't believe he's here. I can't believe the NHL lets him be here. Close quote.
I agree.
Should Alan Eagleson be prevented from attending events that the average ticket holder could not attend?
He's a crook.
Yeah.
He robbed players.
I mean, he's only there, apparently. You read a little more. Apparently, it's because of his relationship with the Wirtz family and Bob Pulford, former executive there. I don't care what the relationship is. There's no reason why he should be in the arena. I don't understand how that slipped through there.
Yeah, I mean, everybody here knows the Alan Eagleson story, right?
Sure.
So, I mean, think about that. It angers people that he's there.
Apparently, he was posing for pictures and asking for autographs from players. It's very
weird
awkward
stuff. I know one guy wouldn't shake his hand, understandably so. The other guy, another player, they didn't say who it was, shook his hand only because he didn't want to have make a scene. This, again, shows you how out of touch the old Blackhawks regime was with reality and how the new regime, although obviously the new regime has to have been somewhat aware of this, is maybe out of touch a little bit as well. But, yeah, the optics there. I mean, you can't have the guy in the arena. Bobby Clark could have saw him. Or no, Bobby Clark's still close with him. Is that what it is? Somebody's still close with him.
Who'd he steal all the money from?
A bunch of guys.
I know, but didn't he steal Bobby Orr's money more than anybody's?
A few guys that would break his ankle if they had a stick. So.
Yeah. So, no, he shouldn't be around. I agree with you guys. He shouldn't be around anywhere around the game. Appearing on TSN 1040 in Vancouver, Canucks general manager Jim Benning said he has been receiving, quote, lots of calls about his goalies and is, quote, confident the Canucks can, quote, get a fairly high draft pick for one of Eddie Lack or Jacob Markstrom. Which of Markstrom or Lack would you rather acquire, and what would you be willing to give up in a trade?
Well, there's so many goalies available, Drew. I'm not sure what you're going to be willing to give up in a trade. We talked about that before. I mean, both of these guys aren't necessarily established. Lack a little bit more than Markstrom, who struggled in times at Florida and Vancouver. although played apparently tremendously well. Didn't have a great game last game in the AHL final here for Utica, but he played tremendously well before that. He's a big goaltender. They're both pretty big. Lack will probably get you, I'm going to say, a late second. Markstrom maybe a third. Not too much. Like, I mean, you're not going to get a ton for these guys. I think the other guys, like Leonard and stuff, might get you multiple picks, but those guys probably get you the same, actually. I don't think there's much. The goalie market, there's too many goalies.
Mm-hmm.
They're easier to find, and not a lot of teams need them. So the supply is gonna be more than the demand.
You almost have to wonder, Richie, if a goalie like, I think Eddie Lack is probably less likely to be traded. It's tough to say. I mean, Eddie Lack did a great job when Ryan Miller went down. I mean, he's a good goalie. He played for the Moose. I really like Eddie Lack's game. He's a really friendly guy, too. The few times that I've been in scrums in the dressing room, always has a big smile on his face.
Mm-hmm.
So I like Eddie Lack. And you almost have to think one of those goalies, maybe that's a better option for a team, Rich, that wants a better backup mm-hmm. as opposed to a number one spot. Because with Ryan Miller there, Eddie Lack's competing with Ryan Miller. They like that depth, right? But now they can see that they can get a draft pick for one of those guys. It'll be interesting to see. I think you're going to see several goalies move because you have teams like Edmonton that need, with Connor McDavid coming in, they mm-hmm. need to improve their goaltending situation. So,
speaking to the Chicago Tribune, the head of NBC Sports, Mark Lazarus, said the following about playoff beards. Quote, "The players won't like this, but I wish they all would stop growing beards in the postseason. Let's get their faces out there. Let's talk about how young and attractive they are. What model citizens they are." Close quote.
Well, first of all, they don't talk about model citizens in the U.S. They just talk about all the controversies about day and night. And that's not going to make any difference at all.
If the NHL bans playoff beards, which seems plausible because they do whatever NBC says, what should players grow in protest? Playoff mustaches, playoff Fu Manchus, playoff goatees, or playoff soul patches?
Okay, well, first of all, players are going to keep growing beards. And Mark Lazarus, not to be confused with the hockey writer Mark Lazarus, this is I don't even want to spend any more time on it because it's ridiculous. Hockey, it's not a runway. Like, what is this? We want to promote our models. I mean, hockey players grow beards. That's just what happens. It's facial hair. They can do whatever they want.
The fact this
guy brought this up to me is, it's like a waste of everybody's time.
Is it a little troubling to you that this is what NBC Sports' president is focusing on when it comes to his hockey coverage?
I mean, baseball players grow beards.
Keep putting the same team, except if you're on the Yankees.
Basketball players can have beards. LeBron's got a, like, what are we talking about here?
This is James Harden has a beard. The whole point is you're going to put the same teams on every week for the past 15 years, whatever it is, on U.S. TV. Never market the stars.
Should all players wear the same color suits, and should every player drive the same car? Like, what's going on here?
You said it, Drew. They're putting afternoon games on in May and June when nobody's inside wanting to watch that garbage. You know, I mean, seriously.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And jeers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stink like this.
Surprisingly not good.
I should say the garbage is a decision, not the play.
I'm also biased because I like to rock the beard. So.
Yeah, and yeah. Drew has a beard.
The two of us, exactly. We're both beard guys. Richie, cheer you.
He announced he was leaving a while back. We talked about it, but formally replaced Ralph Strangis, the Dallas Stars play-by-play guy, is formerly replaced by Dave Strader,
mm-hmm.
who used to be in Arizona, I believe.
Yeah.
He made the move to work with Daryl Ray, but Ralph Strangis, great job. One of my favorite combos, Strangis and Ray, for I think 19 years it was. Loved watching those guys. So Ralph Strangis, give him a cheer for the job well done for that 19-20 year period.
Does he?
This one's an easy one. Doc Emmerich announced this week that he's going to receive the Vin Scully Achievement Award for Excellence in Sport Broadcasting. I listened to Doc Emmerich for years covering the New Jersey Devils, and of course now he's on NBC, so I think he's one of the best play-by-play guys of all time. Also want to give a shout-out to Ian and Lindsay. They went to their wedding last night, so shout-out to them, the newlyweds.
Absolutely. Rich, you stole us. After Ezzy stole my Doc Emmerich chair and you just stole my Dave Strader chair, I'm going to just echo both of what you guys said and also give a shout-out. I'm going to winning today as well. Give a shout-out to Shimon and Ashley. They're getting married later on this afternoon as well. I'm the master of ceremonies there. God help us all.
get us on and off the air like the expert that you are, Drew.
There you go. Exactly right. That's it for this Saturday morning in the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
This toast is brought to you by
TSN 1290. Big thanks to our analyst, Chris Dingman, or our guest, Chris Dingman, Tampa Bay Lightning analyst, Brendan Savage of MLive.com, Grant Sonia, general manager of the QMJHL Charlottetown Islanders.
Dinner is brought to you by
and Craig
Linden Market Dental.
TSN's Draft Insider. Big thanks to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, Linden Market Dental Center, Royal Sports, and Not Auto Corp. In case you missed any of the show, it's available for download on iTunes and on our website, IllegalCurve.com. Follow us on Twitter, at IllegalCurve, Facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and again, the website is IllegalCurve.com. For producer Corey, for Richard Pollock, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Stay tuned for Toronto Blue Jays baseball here on TSN 1290.